Prepare yourselves. It's Big News Wednesday. Now, with the label of Big News Wednesday comes a bit of a promise, the idea that there is supposed to be big breaking news. So we called up the White House and we said, Joe, just do something, God. And he's like, okay, fine, I really don't want to do it, but we'll do something to make it a Big News Wednesday. So you don't know what it is, you have no idea, but we're gonna let you know in a few. And the we is me, but also JR Jackson. JR, welcome to the show.
I'm here for it. I was a little frustrated that I couldn't get to the actual full details of whatever Trump, well, not Trump, Jesus, whatever Biden was gonna say. But you know, maybe if something will happen.
Wait a second. I've got a political consultant. He's gonna help me go through this whole thing. He makes his appearance in studio.
Big Dog Wednesday.
Sprocket is always here. I just don't want to show him off, that's all. So there you go.
Yeah,
you guys get that 10 to 12 seconds of him.
Thank you. And I got to take him for a nice little walk around the neighborhood before the show.
Wasn't that lovely?
It was actually lovely. And we're about to embark, all of us, you and I and JR, on a nice little walk around the news. So we're gonna give you some breaking news about what's, oh my God, there are so many Sprocket emojis in the chat right now. Oh my God. But anyway, so we're gonna be talking about the breaking news. We're gonna be talking about last night's elections. Some people have lost. Well, according to the results, they lost. According to them, maybe not. So we'll be talking about the gap between those two things. We've got Dr. Oz. Oh God, what a disgusting turn. Like, we'll give you the updates on his latest attack about John Fetterman and Sean Hannity making a fool out of himself, celebrities participating in our plunge towards apocalypse. And we got people being terrible in Venice, and we got a lot of stuff basically. So I'm gonna need you to buckle up. But before you buckle up, before you begin to hold on to your butts, please hit the like button and share the stream so people know we're live, you know? And if you wanna send us any comments, tweets, super chats, you could do that. That would be good to do now. And we can respond during our breaks, but also, tomorrow is our monthly YouTube Tier 3 member hangout. So if you're a Tier 3 member, if you'd like to become one or upgrade your membership by tomorrow, we do a little hangout. I'm gonna be talking about my recent honeymoon in Mexico and just a little fun other stuff. We can talk about whatever you guys want. So it should be fun. With all that said though, JR, are you ready to talk about the news?
I just released my butt cheek, so I'm ready.
I'm no longer ready to talk about the news now. Okay, I'm gonna try, but we'll see. For over a year and a half now, we've been wondering, will Joe Biden do what he said he would do many times on the campaign trail, which is to cancel some student loan debt? And he did his little investigation and they gave a report back like a year ago. And it's, at one point it was gonna be $10,000. Then people talked about the possibility of $50,000. That seemed like a crazy dream. And now so much time has passed and we've been through so many iterations of this that we ended up at kind of what we thought was gonna happen, maybe in some ways a little bit better, but all of this in the context of it's Joe Biden and Joe Biden is a centrist Democrat. So you get what you expect kind of out of it. He has announced, perhaps most importantly, $10,000 of debt forgiveness for most students, as well as $10,000 additional dollars of forgiveness for students who receive Pell grants. And so, you know, I would be interested to see in our chat right now, if you have student loan debt, leave a message. If you took Pell grants, I'm curious. I know I in college had Pell grants, but I don't know what percentage of those with certain amounts of debt have it right now. But that is how they're gonna sort of nuance to a position of, well, it's not just $10,000, it's in theory $20,000, maybe. If you took Pell grants, if your Pell grants were at least $10,000, if you make less than $125,000 a year, your household double that, then in theory for some, this could amount to $20,000, which is not halfway between 10 and 50, but it's a little bit more in any event. We'll find out in a year exactly how it's gonna break down on average what people got. It's probably gonna be on average somewhere between there, 12,000, 14,000, 16,000, something like that. But in addition to the loan debt cancellation, they're also doing a pause on payments until December 31st, which is good. If you're still struggling, as many are from the pandemic and the economic downturn that we've experienced over the past year, then not having to do the repayments for a few more months is good. But it is it is barely kicking the can down the road. It's tipping the can over down the road. And maybe if the wind hits the can, it might roll a bit. But you didn't really kick it at that point. It's 3 months from now. We're still gonna we're one Marvel series from that. So look, there's gonna be a lot more nuance. There's some more good news, and we definitely have some criticism. But I know JR, I want to get your overall. What's your gut reaction when you find out what they had compared to what maybe you thought they might do? Overall, how happy should we be about this?
Maybe as far as what I thought they might do it's gonna be a little bit more pessimistic, because what I thought they would do was probably even less than this. But it doesn't mean that it's just like fabulous. But I mean, it's something, right? I mean, you want to find yourself somewhere in the middle, because that's where they've found themselves. Because I think a lot of people maybe also thought like me that, yeah, sure, this is a lot of window dressing. This is him wanting to look like he's fulfilling this campaign promise, but also at the same time, not looking like he's giving away to these socialist programs and these damn millennials and their laziness of wanting to eat and have a roof over their head. How dare they? So he's having to try and make sure he keeps those people quiet, but then also trying to keep all those crazy people quiet. They're like, you know, you said something. You were elected partially off of saying that 2 + 2 = 4. So
yeah,
of course we'll find ourselves in the middle, and people will be happy to an extent because something will happen for, I guess, a significant number of people. But then again, it goes straight to the next step, down to December 31st. There's reasons why they have these types of, you know, moments or these deadlines to get to the point. And all people will be doing for the next, as you mentioned, next few months is waiting and be like, okay, oh, it's beginning this next month. Have they done anything? It's like you're keeping them like hooked.
Look, maybe this is, well, okay, we want to make it so that it comes after the midterms, so they have to vote us back in so that we can then do it again. Although not really, because he's still going to be the president regardless. So in theory, if he can delay it for a couple months, he can delay it for a year if he wanted to. In the same way as we're going to return to multiple times during this clip, if he can cancel 10,000, he can cancel 50. If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. You could do all of these things. But anyway, let's pause for 1 second. To take stock of the fact that we are in, and you've sort of alluded to this, JR, in the worst possible position, because many people will be talking about this issue today, and they will be able to provide for their audience purity. Oh, they're gonna have things to say about this that are gonna feel so good, so good. They're gonna tell you on CNN that this is historic, it's amazing, it's the most that could possibly be done. Many will probably hint, it probably shouldn't have even been done. In fact, in some on CNN are already starting to say that. But the ones who love Biden will say, oh my God, look at our savior. Great Joe Biden, he did this. No one else could have gotten it done, even though literally anyone else as president could have done this or more. On the other hand, others will say, this is absolutely nothing for no one. And this is the exact same thing that you would have gotten with Trump. Now, neither of those positions are in any way true. They are very, very pure in the way that unicorn dust is. It's hypothetical, but it feels good, I guess, in your imagination. The reality is that this is not nearly enough for many, many millions of people who have far more than $10,000 or even $20,000 in student loan debt. Many of you are probably watching right now. Some of you are commenting there as well. And the people for whom it is not enough, it would be bad enough if it was evenly distributed across the entire population, but it's not. That's not how it works at all. The cool thing about being rich is you also never have to deal with debt and interest and all that. So the richer you are, the less you have to deal with these sorts of things. There are massive racial inequalities in student loan debt, like outstanding amounts of student loan debt, which means that racially this will hit very differently. At the same time, no, Trump was not gonna do this. If Trump was president right now, there would be $0 of student debt cancellation. There would be absolutely none. On the other hand, if it was Bernie, then the entire thing would probably be canceled. And so there, we've angered the people who want to hear that Biden's the exact same thing as Beelzebub, who is a sovereign in hell. And we've angered the people who believe that Joe Biden is the best thing to ever happen since, I want to say sliced bread, but Joe Biden is basically sliced bread for Democrats. It's basically the same thing. And so we all get to be frustrated. So isn't that fun, JR?
Yeah, I mean, why not, bro? We're talking about not covering the whole thing, or at least getting to this socialist point of view that we've got. I'm not sure if you're getting to this, but we do this all the time. talking about the people that we actually value in society. And that's the fight that's happening. And as soon as the question gets asked, hey, why don't we go ahead and value folks that actually contribute so much to society? Because you know those socialist programs are giving it to these no good nobodies who don't deserve it. We can point out how much money is actually given, literally given away to folks that we think will better our society and our economy. But we just don't have that same type of importance put on folks like people that are commenting right now, gotta be honest.
Yeah.
But they won't say it that way.
Yeah.
And also, look, I'm sorry, this is the part I was forgetting. From December, then the next step is what? All politicians they talk in election cycles. So once the midterms are over, say it's successful enough for Democrats, and then we don't know still what Joe Biden may do as far as reelection. That's always 50-50 lately. So then it goes to whoever may be the next standard bearer of the Democratic Party or who's running for office. We'll let them decide what to do with it next. Yep. That's the kicking of the can down the road. And if he's not going to be the one, then it's someone else who may say, you know what, I'm not on that at all. If Hillary's back.
Don't even do that. Not today. We're trying to have a little bit of hope out of this. But anyway, let me give you some more good details, I guess, and then we'll add more of the negative context. See, we do both. Look, if you want purity, there are people who will give you purity. You can go watch their shows. It's disconnected from reality. It's gonna lead you down a really dark path, but it'll feel good for a little bit. We don't do that. Sorry. But anyway. So the White House says, and so take with a grain of salt, I trust this White House more than I trust the Trump White House, but it's still the White House. It is filled with politicians, so grains of salt on these estimates. But they say 90% of the relief will go to households earning $75,000 a year or less. That's an attempt, futile attempt, to get out in advance of the right-wing narrative that the only people who benefit from this are people who got 3 doctorates in fine arts or something. It's not true, but they'll say it. Oh, and as a little preview, if the actual student loan debt cancellation doesn't make you feel that great, and I understand why it might not, you can at least look forward to enjoying, for the rest of at least today, the right wing absolutely losing their minds over this. There is nothing that they hate more than the idea that the government would do a thing that transfers money to people who work. To workers, and they just get the money? Oh my God, Ben Shapiro is going to shatter all of the glass within 10 miles of his studio with his shrieking. But anyway, in addition to that, they estimate, also first of all, again, $125,000 is a cap on income for you to get this $10,000 to $20,000, $250,000 for a year for your household. Again, I think that this is needless stuff that Dems do, this means testing. Whatever, they're gonna do it. They're gonna continually try to seem like they're fiscally conservative, whatever. They believe that about 43 million people will be eligible for some level of forgiveness. About 20 million will have their entire debt canceled. So that is good. One small little thing is that according to Jeff Stein of the Washington Post, in the American Rescue Plan last year, there was some stipulation that means that now, the debt cancellation that happens will not be counted as taxable income, which might seem like a small thing, but if they added $10,000 to $20,000 of taxable income, that would massively undercut how much was actually being canceled. So that's actually pretty significant. Mm-hmm. So that's good. But you know, like the issue is that it could have been more. It could have been more. And I would love an answer to the question of why wasn't it? Mm-hmm. If you can cancel this much, why didn't you cancel more? And why didn't you do it sooner? You could have done it a year ago. There's no new power that's been delegated to the president. There was no like, oh, we had to wait so that we could get it to 10,000. If we did it last year, it'd only be 5 or something. And again, I know people are saying still not good enough. Yeah, no, it's not. No, it's literally not good enough. Because what we're dealing with is a crisis. If you have $10,000 in student loan debt and this wipes it out, this is a great day for you. If you have $40,000 in student loan debt and this takes it down 10 or 20 and also reduces how much interest you pay over the next 10 to 20 years because the principal has been cut, then this is a pretty great day for you too. If you have 50 or 60, it doesn't really seem to matter that much. You're still gonna be paying for the next 30 years for the rest of your life. And so this is not just some sort of needless purity test. We can measure the inadequacy in the actual financial impact on millions and millions of people. And we can celebrate the good that it does at the same time. Why do we have to choose one of those two things? Because it feels good, because it seems pure, it's not realistic. There can be multiple things at the same time, some that are good, some that are bad. To understand reality, you need to be able to hold both of those things in your mind at the same time.
That's not politics, Iderola. What's wrong with you, bro? The other part about this whole thing is when it comes to school in general, because you talk about $50,000, $60,000 of debt. Bro, I know folks that are clean over around $200,000 worth of student loan debt because undergrad, masters, graduate school, law school, whatever, right? And these types of things. So, and yeah, you're like, all these guys must make so much money. No, not really. Because this, again, and in order to even have the type of opportunity, you're 18 years old, you come out of high school, your counselors at your school are telling you, hey, you got this school, you got that school, and there's the fourth and the fifth school like that. Here's some scholarship opportunities, here's some loan opportunities to take care of the back end of it. And then once these, every year, the amount it costs to go to school increases significantly. Like this, and the whole time you're going, well, I'm gonna get a good job. It's okay because I'm going to this university that they said is gonna take me right into it. As soon as it happens, I've got a good job. But we don't follow up on the professional end with these good jobs. We keep giving money to these folks who are providing good jobs, and they can keep saying, if you give us more of these relief, these corporations and CEOs and rich folks, if you keep giving us these breaks, promise we're gonna finally do something. And then they don't, they trickle 5 to 10 cents at you. And then they say, oh, isn't that good enough for you? No, it's not even on each end. So we're talking about balancing and the economic outfall, the fallout from this. Yeah, if people are building up all this debt in order to get good enough jobs to then pay it off and then maybe have a roof over their head, and the back end doesn't fulfill that part of the promise, they're left in the middle and now they're the bad guys. This is the situation we're finding ourselves in. I'm gonna say these lazy people didn't get themselves in the right situation. Don't take out loans. Or I mean, don't go to school and then be called a loser and someone who's not allowed to get into the workforce to a significant level that they can better their lives. Get out of here with that. We know how the system works.
They didn't take out a loan on a Ferrari. Like, the debt never should have been there. It shouldn't have cost what it did. The students didn't make it cost that much. And the students were told by literally everyone placed in a position of authority over them in their entire lives, you better go to college. You better get a degree. You better be responsible. Hell, the hosts on Fox have been telling them that their entire lives. Stop being deadbeat. Stop being, you know, all this stuff. Take your life seriously. Buckle down. All that stuff. Right up until they have the debt, and then screw you. Honestly, why'd you do it? You shouldn't have gotten it. It was a waste of money. You never should have gotten it anyway. It shouldn't have been there in the first place. And in terms of the actual structure of it, if you take out $10,000 and the payment plan results in you paying $30,000, or 20 years later, you owe more than you started with, which many people have experienced, let me ask you a question. Why is that legal? Why is there no cap on how much total interest a loan of X value can produce? Now, you might just say, well, of course it's legal. No, of course. It's legal because the people who give out loans have way more influence over the government than the people who desperately need the loans. That's the only other reason. There's no philosophical or moral reason for that. They've set up a system that allows them to bleed us dry. They grind our bones and slurp our marrow. That's what they do. It could change. We could have a cap. They could still be very incentivized to provide these loans. They will make a certain amount, a very generous amount, and they don't have to do anything in the meantime. It's literally just money sitting in a bank account. It could be that way. It's not, because they have influence. They have the money to buy politicians. That's the true investment that they've done. It's not the loans. It's not the interest rate. It's Joe Manchin. It's Kyrsten Sinema. It's Joe Biden, by the way. And anyway, anyone who's like mad at us for not being excited enough about this, like, why are you mad at me? I'm just an advocate. Like, what you're more mad at me than at Joe Biden, who could have made it 15 or 12 or 10,700. It would have just, he could have slipped his finger like with the pen. Just at the last second, like, oops, 11. I did 11 by accident. I can't do that. I don't have any power. Anyway, so don't be mad at me.
Yeah, and but you know what? The whatever frustration is as far as too much complaining, I even understand your point of view. The point is why not more? We don't even put enough value on ourselves because we've been told so much. I'm talking about just regular folks who aren't the multimillionaires and leaders of corporations in the country. we don't put enough value on ourselves because we've been told so many times, you don't deserve it until you're half dead.
Yeah.
Or if you've done some corruption or joined the same party of folks that do this type of stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, look, some people are saying in the chat, I've tried to confirm, I haven't been able to found it yet, that supposedly that stipulation that it wouldn't be taxable income was added by AOC. I haven't found that yet. If that is true, that's awesome. I can certainly buy it. She's an advocate for complete elimination. So, but I haven't confirmed that. We'll try to find out. And the people are saying that like we're depressing voter turnout. No, I would ask you to extend to be the olive branch of understanding that we get attacked constantly for being too pro Biden. Do you get that? Simultaneously, we get stabbed in the front for not being supportive enough and stabbed in the back for being sheepdogs for them. Simultaneously, could you guys at least talk before you thrust the dagger in and decide which, just choose one direction, okay? We're just trying to be realistic. It's great. This is good news. The IRA was good. It's far better than what you would have gotten with Trump, which is why we actively encouraged people for months and months and months to not support Trump. But it could be better. And it's not my job to do PR for politicians. It's my job to advocate for working Americans. And so that's what I'm gonna continue to do. If that makes me seem unrealistic or I apologize, but that's my job.
For voter suppression, I'm sorry, we've gone on this a bit long, but for voter suppression line, I get even people's worry about that. But then again, I don't. We were talking about how the Roe versus Wade got overturned. We have housing crisis where no one can buy a damn house in the country anymore. We've got wage issues. We've got people busting up unions. We've got a president and an entire party that's advocating for a white nationalist and domestic terrorists to go kill people because of who they are. Mm-hmm. And the one thing about saying, hey, this isn't enough on student loan debt, will suppress the vote. That means you no longer care about the overturning of Roe versus Wade. That means you no longer care about the housing issue and the wage issue. So I just don't buy it. I think it's what politicians tell us and then it makes us afraid. It's a good line. Hey, it could be so much worse. That's true. But that means suddenly we abandon everything else that these other folks are doing and they want to do, and that they're implementing from the minority position already right now. Republicans are still controlling a lot of our agenda from the spot of being in the minority, bro.
Yeah.
And now we're worried about suppressing the vote.
I
get the fear. I understand the fear. I'm sorry, John. I understand the fear. But just think for a couple more minutes about it and realize there's many things that you're voting on to change things.
Yeah, and look, we should be understanding. We never know when someone comes in and comments how long they've been watching or whatever. Maybe they don't know that. Like, do you think that I haven't been sufficiently anti-Trump? Come on. Do you think that I haven't been over the last 6 years? I would argue I've been pretty opposed to Donald Trump and the Republicans. And I will add one final little thing. This is to anyone who absolutely loves Biden and this is the best day ever. First of all, we're on largely the same side. This sets a nice precedent because if one president can cancel $10,000, the next one should have a much easier path to canceling another 10 or 20 or 50 or whatever, because now it's a thing that presidents do. So there, that is another little added good thing, I suppose. Anyway, with that said, we're gonna take our first break. We come back, more good news, at least insofar as some particularly bad Republicans did not win their elections last night. We're gonna watch them melt down in real time after this. Okay, I know that I'm getting a bit heated because my glasses are fogging up.
Don't you cross John Iadarola. Don't you cross him. He just got back from Mexico and he's fired up and ready to go.
No, it is a good day. It's a good day. It's a good day. And to some extent, I'm probably being defensive because I know that even acknowledging the goodness of the bill will result in us being attacked for being shills. Like, we can't be happy.
John.
By the way, as I've said many times, I was lucky enough that, you know, I graduated from college like a billion years ago. And I was lucky enough that although it was very difficult and there was large periods where literally every extra cent I had, I put into student loans, which turns out not to have been a great financial plan. The interest rate is lower than what you could have gotten with investments. Don't do what I did. I was able to pay off the student loans. So this is not benefiting me. So I feel like I can evaluate what he's doing pretty objectively. Like, I had student loans, but it's not affecting me. So it is good news. It is good news.
Okay. Not buying it, bro. You're just jealous because you wish you could get some relief and you had to pay it.
I mean, look, if they made it retroactive, I wouldn't turn it down. But anyway, okay, with that, we are behind, but it's one of the biggest domestic developments. So sue me or whatever. Actually, don't sue me. But let's move on to other news, starting with this.
I'm not conceding because I'm a winner. And the reality is our Republican Party is broken to its core.
Tonight has really honestly shocked the nation. We have further exposed the corruption within our own feckless, cowardly Republican Party. And that is exactly the reason why, right, I decided to run against a rhino Republican, Daniel Webster. Do nothing, Daniel Webster.
So first of all, Laura Loomer, keep Anna Kasparian's feckless out of your mouth. That's her term, not yours. Don't try to steal it. Second of all, she's very proud of what she did there. What she did there was lose her election. Let's keep it real. She was running and she lost, which is good. Now, the joke is somewhat on us in that the election was way closer than it should have been, considering that it's her. And as we're going to describe, she's one of the most reprehensible people in America. But first, let's have a little bit more of her reaction to the election in this.
We are losing our country because of big tech election interference. And I am pleading with the Republican Party to please start taking this issue seriously. Please, because the American people deserve representation. And that's why I ran for Congress in 2020. It's why I ran for Congress in 2022. And it's why I'm going to keep fighting for all of you. I'm never going to.
That is her explanation as to why she's going to continue running for Congress and fighting for you. I would argue that she's a massive grifter, always has been, and this is a great way to regularly get people to transfer their money to you. I think that's probably why she's going to continue to run for office. She ran in 2020, actually won a primary there, but lost to the Democrat by more than 16 points. And now she's lost, although closer, in this Republican primary. But she is very much, if it wasn't clear there, not conceding. You know why? Because the election was stolen from her. You know why? Because she lost. And that hurts. And it hurts to admit that you lost. So just don't ever do that. Don't ever admit that you lost. You never have to lose anything again in your life. You are awesome and shiny and you have very, very nice soft hair. So nothing bad ever has to happen to you. Or if it does happen to you, it was stolen. Or if it was really bad, it was a false flag. Or it was a hoax, or it was a witch hunt. Nothing's ever true that's bad for you. That's the way it works out for Republicans. As I forget exactly who it was that noted on Twitter, they were like, this is the generation of like boomer conservatives that told us we were weak for wanting participation trophies. First of all, I never heard a kid my age ask for one of those trophies. It seemed like you guys really wanted to award them. And now none of you will admit that a politician you support has ever lost. Laura Loomer is not the first Republican in this cycle running against another Republican to claim that voter fraud stole the election from her. Most of them are doing it at this point. They will not admit defeat. There would be something like dignity in it. But why admit it when your audience will buy whatever conspiratorial BS you have to say, JR?
That's the way this whole thing works, right? As if you, one thing you notice from that the speech where she's crying is we have to stop this big tech takeover of our elections. It always goes back to big tech, and that's one of those code words for I've been shadow banned, the algorithm's after me. Not that I've said or done anything that would get me in any kind of hot water with this, or would have me violating the rules and of these platforms that don't guarantee you having access to them. It all goes back to having the ability to reach more crazed folks, radicalize them, which we'll get to her thoughts on stuff like that, and make money off of it. People run for office. Like some people go to school sometimes because they're like, oh man, I mean, it's easier sometimes to go to school and keep going to school and get more degrees rather than try and jump in this sometimes bad work market. So if she's running for office, she's gonna do it again and again and again because it's a moneymaker. It builds up her clout. It builds up her name recognition so that she can go back and say, I have a podcast now. Look, what's his name? Who just lost? My man from North Carolina who had the sex orgy parties and he got dismantled by his entire-
Oh, Madison Cawthorn.
Liking already. Yeah, I'm actually happy I'm forgetting his name.
But Madison Cawthorn. He said no to the parties.
But. Yeah, no, he just participated. But he will go straight to the podcast. It goes back to money-making schemes because they got to go back to the only work that they've got. Yeah. And this is just a springboard off of that. And it has nothing to do with actually winning or losing elections. So Republican Party and rigs elections now, Laura? Is that what we're saying? Republican Party's the problem? We should get Mike Lindell on the case.
No, like, look, we're criticizing her for pretending that like it was rigged for one Republican versus another. But honestly, is that any crazier than Marjorie Greene spending a year and a half saying that the Georgia elections were fraudulent when she got into office in that Georgia election? I would say they're on roughly the same level of crazy. Now, in terms of how out and out awful a person is Loomer better or worse than Greene? That's an interesting debate to have. After 50 people were killed in the Christchurch shooting in New Zealand, she said, nobody cares about the shooting. I especially don't. I care about my social media accounts and the fact that Americans are being silenced, which is very, very sociopathically online of her. But she didn't care because they were Muslims. That's it. That's the only reason. She is 10% more openly Islamophobic than most Republicans at this point. Contributor to InfoWars, you'll be shocked to find out, believes mass shootings, whichever one you wanna, all of them are fake. They were all made up by the government. She says America's white history is being erased, which is cool. And also, by the way, I think that this sums it up better than anything else. I can give you all of her quotes. She was so crazy that she got banned from CPAC. Do you know how crazy you need to be to get banned from CPAC? Anyway,
you have to say things like, when someone asks, are you pro-white nationalism? She says, yes, I'm pro-white nationalism. So again, in that earlier video, she said that the American people need representation. Remember that she said the American people need representation, yet she's an Islamophobe. She's talking about false flags at Parkland and all these shootings that happened to kill children. And she has this white nationalist love. I want you to compile all the people in the country who are against all those types of things and more and ask which Americans does she think need representation?
Yeah, good point. Hold on, by the way, dissident PM in the Twitch chat says, we'll take Viktor Orban, but not you.
Oh yeah, CPAC, yeah.
That is amazing. He's more influential, I guess. Okay, so here's what we're gonna do. This is inside baseball. We're gonna take the reset of this. We're gonna bring it back for tomorrow and have a bit more of a meta debate. Jordan Yule is gonna be on tomorrow. For now though, why don't we advance to our C block? Because time-wise, you know, we talked a little bit more about the student debt issue than I expected. Let me read one or two quick comments, give them time to reset. Andrew sent in a super chat saying, I graduated medical school with 100, it was a public school, with 180K in student debt in 2013. During residency and my infectious diseases fellowship, I made 50 to 65K a year working 80 hours a week for 7 years. I now owe 250,000. Yeah,
but telling you, man.
Okay, look, we can do more against student loan, but you have to be in like an important field. Why do we need experts on infectious disease in America? Come on, seriously. Yeah, it's ridiculous. That should be zero debt. Zero. You worked your butt off to be a doctor specializing in infectious disease. We should be paying you for that, not the other way around.
And you know what that incentivizes? And not that this will happen, but you know, the doctors that tend to maybe direct their care in certain ways that'll bring in more money because they're paying off debts.
Yeah.
And then the care changes. Again, this isn't a crossbar. I'm not trying to disparage doctors, but people have had these complaints that sometimes they're just put on medications or sent this direction, that direction to try and generate more money for hospitals, doctor's offices, all these things, because they got to pay these bills back.
Crudité Gate has taken a really disgusting turn. If you haven't been tracking this, we'll show you a little shot. John Fetterman got a lot of attention for pointing out this video that Dr. Oz had filmed of him like performatively shopping for groceries because his crudité bill was going up. And John Fetterman pointed out in PA, we call this a veggie tray. I'm bilingual, I'll call it both. But anyway, people really liked that. Fetterman actually raised $500,000 in one day, and it really crystallized how out of touch and mostly out of state Dr. Oz actually is. Now, Dr. Oz is not as good at this as Fetterman is, but he has to respond. He has to do something with so much money and attention going to Fetterman. So he decided to throw a punch And I would say that even in 2022, even with the depths we've descended to as a political culture, this is pretty disgusting. He had his senior communications advisor, Rachel Tripp, say, if John Fetterman had ever eaten a vegetable in his life, then maybe he wouldn't have had a major stroke and wouldn't be in the position of having to lie about it constantly. If you're missing the point of that, which I don't think any of you are, it's mocking the guy who just had a stroke in a state and a country where many, many people suffer strokes and other related metabolic circulatory issues and things like that. We are a culture that is plagued by strokes and Alzheimer's and heart disease and these sorts of things. It's a crisis that doesn't get nearly enough attention, in popular culture by our government. Doesn't get enough empathy. People go bankrupt dealing with these sorts of things. People die. Families are destroyed because of these sorts of ailments. And this guy, whose credibility is supposed to be in being a doctor, that's his point of attack. Mocking someone for having a stroke. JR, we're gonna have Fetterman's response. But we've followed a lot of the sort of revolutions of this Fetterman Oz thing. What do you think about this line being crossed?
He's out of options, bro. I mean, again, he's getting snatched all around in public and it's embarrassing. So then sometimes you lash out when you're getting angry. It's like in sports, that's what technical fouls and personal fouls are for, depending on the sport. Once you're losing and then the foul goes against you and you're still not happy with it and everybody's booing you and you're down by 20, eventually you start swinging. And then you get kicked out of the game or you get extra penalties. It doesn't look good. It's just an emotional response. And they always say, hey, you got to keep your emotions together or else you're going to lose even worse. And this is just one of those cases. I'm not sure if he put her up to this. Who's this? Rachel?
Rachel Tripp.
Senior communications advisor.
It's her whole
Rachel
job.
Tripp. I'm not sure if the rest of the communications team is taking her lead since she's the advisor and she's a senior member of this whole thing. But that's the approach next, is to attack him for his health. Now, by the way, what does that do for voters? Because that's the very next question. I would assume Fetterman's campaign has already brought that up. Because again, where are your principles? What's your agenda? What are you running for? What do you want to do, Dr. Oz? Do you want to disparage all stroke victims once you're in office? Because that's apparently what your platform is. What is it that you going after his ailment do for people who want to vote for you? And everyone who wants to vote for him, ask yourself, is your life going to be better because of this disgusting line?
Yeah. No, it'll do absolutely nothing for them, but it is also giving them exactly what they want. They want this. They want it worse than this. Mr. Unknown in the chat, who, unlike Dr. Oz, knows how to be funny, says Dr. Oz went full Costanza. See, that's a funny reference. Except the cruelty isn't going to be perceived by the MAGA crowd as a bad thing. They want disgusting, underhanded stuff. They like Trump and they like Green, but they want way grosser. Way more reprehensible than that, and they'll get it. As a culture, we're moving in that direction. But anyway, Fetterman responded saying, I had a stroke, I survived it. I'm truly so grateful to still be here today. I know politics can be nasty, but even then, I could never imagine ridiculing someone for their health challenges. Which is totally right. It makes Dr. Oz look to a reasonable person like the most desperate person in the world. Now, maybe desperate is a better look than lifelong lying huckster, grifter, con man. Maybe that's better. So maybe it's good to go in this direction. This better not be the sort of thing that actually helps him. By the way, according to some watching the race, they're getting a little bit worried about him too. After the crudité thing, and then there was this back and forth between Fetterman and Oz about how many houses Oz has. Oz says he owns two. He actually has 10. And I'm gonna say, you don't get to be off by the number of houses you have by more than one. I'll give you one house that you forgot, but not eight. That's too many houses. Am I not merciful? Trump reportedly told two of his confidants that Oz will effing lose unless something changes in the race. Now they denied this, but they're massive liars too. So who even cares at that point? But by the way, it is not just him that's getting a little bit desperate. Dr. Oz had a big assist during the primary season from Sean Hannity, who can't like the polling of the last few months. So he's been attacking Fetterman constantly too. Here's what he had to say recently.
Tonight, a rare in-person campaign event for the very spoiled trust fund brat in a hoodie, John Fetterman, who called me a liar again today. And every day he calls me a liar, we will tell you the truth about who he really is, because he's a trust fund brat phony that tries to act tough with tattoos and that hoodie. Anyway, and in roughly 5 minutes, he gave a speech today. He's not doing well. You could say that stroke was beyond debilitating. It was crippling for him. Anyway, we'll let you decide. Now, in fact, if John, the Bernie Sanders-loving socialist spoiled brat trust fund hypocrite in a hoodie really cared about the people of Pennsylvania, he'd probably step aside and let someone more capable run for office.
Okay, if the nickname that you're trying to make trend has so many words and is so complex that even on a teleprompter you can't get through without stumbling, maybe simplify it a little bit. Also, I love the idea that he has a problem with trust fund brats. Dude, look around at the other hosts on Fox News, honestly. Like, who are you going to dinner with? Also, I just need to take issue with one thing, because he had a lot to say about Fetterman that was disgusting, including the idea that he'd been crippled by it. It's again, it's like what Oz was doing. It's a vicious underhanded attack against a guy who just went through a major health crisis. He pointed out that Fetterman likes to try to look tough with his tattoos and his hoodie. Look, I don't know Fetterman, but he seems tough. I don't think he needs to try to look tough. I think he just looks tough. You know who has to try to look tough though? This is a bit of a throwback. If you just started following politics in the last few years, you might not remember this, but take a look at this shot. Do you know what this image is? This is an image of Sean Hannity practicing MMA. And do you know where this shot comes from? Sean Hannity's show. Now, you might have a follow-up question. Why exactly would he be showing footage of him practicing MMA on his political commentary show? I have no idea. I have no idea, but I do know that he did it multiple times. Multiple times, he just decided to show himself punching a bag on his political show because that's how desperate he is to look tough. Look at the look of fury on his face as he elbows a guy's padded hand. Real tough, bro. Real tough. You remember that, JR?
But imagine that's your face. He also had, I remember that he had Dana White, the UFC president, on as well. And he showed him videos of him doing his Krav Maga and the grappling and the wrestling and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he goes, and it was like he was waiting for approval. And Dana White was laughing, but he wasn't like, he wasn't against him. And he said, you're laughing, you're laughing. And there was this sense of like, oh no, he doesn't like it. I didn't impress him.
I love that. There's nothing more alpha than desperately wanting another guy's approval and falling apart when you don't get it. By the way, you know who else does Krav Maga? Not recently, but I do. You know what? I'm gonna start playing on the show, because apparently you can just do that. If you have a political show, you can just show yourself exercising on it. John, I'm gonna sit up right now.
You're gonna do Krav Maga? I've got some pads, some hand pads. I'm a little afraid though. I mean, apparently those things are deadly.
Wait, can we show one more thing? Can you go back to that image? I didn't even notice. His hat's on backwards.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's a tough guy move. If your hat's
Why is it on backwards? Apparently there's sun, because you're wearing the sunglasses. The other guy isn't, so why are your eyes so sensitive? But if there's so much sun, turn the hat the other way around.
No, I'm tough. Oh, I got a hoodie on too. By the way, it's buying into your own BS. You know, because you're wearing a hoodie, that means you're a tough, scary guy. If that's the stereotype you guys have been pushing since forever, that anybody in a hoodie is coming to get you. Oh, this thing that keeps people warm. It's like, you know, if someone wears a members only jacket, you know, those members only jackets, they're killer. Yeah. Come on, bro.
Oh my God. But one more graphic. I apologize, Marisa. If we go to this last graphic, Asin on Twitter, who, by the way, everyone should follow, does a great job of culling like the best clips from Fox News every night. This is a section that Hannity just did last night, a little segment about Fetterman. I don't even know what Fetterman supposedly was crying about. But in the segment where Hannity is telling Fetterman to stop crying, Hannity's like, I'm gonna sue you. Come on, dude. Put your glasses on, turn your hat around, and get tough. Anyway, oh, I love this race. Fetterman needs to win, and that will just be chef's kiss on this ridiculous debacle of American politics. Okay, with that said, we're gonna take a second break. When we come back, we have these water restrictions in California. Well, for the regular peasants anyway, for the celebrities, not so much, and we're gonna name names after this.
John, really fast, since you're still slurping really fast. We're talking about discouraging voters from voting because we say something bad about whatever Biden is doing. Also, how about we encourage or discourage politicians from continuing their bad routes by criticizing what they're saying? Like, if we can get discouraged, why can't they get discouraged? They're humans too. So if we're discouraged from voting, how about we discourage them from screwing us over?
That's all. No, I agree. Can I say a random thing, by the way? It's gonna seem super detached, but I think we can all agree. We've had a fun show so far. There's a lot of people that like, so we do, our shows are basically every day. We have like a different co-host. There are a lot of people that I would like to do a daily show with every day, but JR, you'd be very, very high up on that list. If it was just me and you doing a daily show, I think it would be a good show.
You know, John, you're effing right.
Thank you. Okay, with that, let's move on. Let's prove how good it would be by talking about one more story. I'm gonna put the Mr. Peanut hat on. But anyway, let's jump into this. California is experiencing a fairly severe drought. And in some areas, there are restrictions on how much water you're actually allowed to consume. In the area of Calabasas and Hidden Hills, there are over 2,000 citizens who have received what are called notices of exceedance, which means you've used more water than you're supposed to repeatedly. And what do you know? Some celebrities have appeared on that list. So right now, there's a 50% mandatory water reduction, even in comparison to earlier stages. It allows you to use 55 gallons of water per person per day inside of your home, which I think seems like quite a bit. Imagine a gallon jug of water. Each person gets 55 of those in a day. That seems pretty good. It wasn't enough for some, though. Kim Kardashian's properties in Hidden Hills used 232,000 excess gallons of water in June. Khloe Kardashian used 101,000 gallons over the allotted limit. Combined, that's 333,000 gallons, roughly half the amount of water required to fill an Olympic-sized swimming pool. So that's a lot just for the Kardashians. You also have a property listed under the name of Dwayne Wade. He used 1,400% of what he was supposed to in June, 90,000 gallons. That was an improvement, though, over May, where he exceeded his budget by 489,000 gallons, more than anyone else in the region. Now, we don't know that he was even there, and it certainly wasn't just him. There might be multiple people on the property, but that's a 500,000 gallons, JR. That's quite a bit.
Dwayne Wade definitely likes to drink some water. People mentioned golf courses, of course, the constant flow of water from then, and then the watering of the grass to make sure that people can have nice green grass so they can golf in peace and beauty. Yeah, we've seen the way that there's this tiered system within our society, and folks can break the rules, and then if they get charged more for it, cool.
Yeah, 100%. You know, we've got other names on this list, including a prominent comedian and an actor having a bit of a comeback in the superhero genre. We are running up against the deadline of the hour, though. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna take a short break. We're gonna be gone for just a couple minutes. Thank you to all of you on the podcast and the linear platforms. For those of you watching on Twitch and YouTube, we're gonna give you those additional names on the other side. And then we've got some great other stories to talk about. The GOP supposedly being worried about a teacher shortage. We're gonna remind you of what they've been saying about teachers last year. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a few. Angry Little Nobody sent in a super chat saying, "Angry Little Dragon here. Is it not okay to just call this a win? This will help some people. I'm not a fan of Biden. He's a barely reformed, out of touch racist. We can celebrate and push for more." Well, angry, I feel like that's what I did. Did I not celebrate and push for more? That's what I was trying to do. I apologize. This is not scripted. If I did not get that across, I apologize. In my mind, that's what I was doing.
That hat you wore is intimidating. It's a top hat. It's like a Monopoly, man. You know, that's the threat to the economy and people in this country is folks that continue to hoard and take your money and use you.
That's true. And honestly, putting on a backwards baseball cap and like aviators or whatever and looking tough, isn't that kind of like easy mode? Those have a connotation of being tough. If you want to be tough in the Mr. Peanut hat. If you can be tough in a Mr. Peanut hat, then you're actually tough. Hashtag Mr. Peanut Hat Challenge. Anyway,
I'm on.
I want to see people on social media wearing the Mr. Peanut hat. And honestly, go farther than that. Get the whole attire and look tough in that. Swole.
The specs? Was it like, what is it? Isn't it one spectacle he wears?
He wears one. He only needs one.
Cross your legs and lean to the side.
Exactly. He's got a monocle.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.